Unless you repent and amend your ways, you will spend eternity swimming in a lake of fire. I think everyone's woke up now. Probably been a while since you heard a fire and brimstone homily, right? The good old days of flash and show. Something, and part of me kind of misses that a little bit. I think we got a little bit soft nowadays. Don't really like to talk about hell all that much. Don't really hear it preached all that much. But it still is a reality. It's a reality that we've kind of lost grip on a little bit. We tend to kind of numb ourselves to sleep a little bit with this idea, this understanding that, you know, if you're a good person, you go to heaven, or basically everybody goes to heaven, except for maybe Hitler and one or two others from history. But, you know, as long as you're a good person, that's all you need. But our gospel today challenges and, in fact, contradicts that idea. When we see this man, this rich man who's unnamed, calling from the pits of hell and in torment, being tortured by flames, calling to Abraham, begging that Lazarus could just dip the tip of his finger in water so that he could have a drop of water on his tongue. That sounds like a great torment, a great place that we don't want to go. This idea that heaven is basically assured as long as you don't really, really, really screw something up. That's not the way the saints understood their approach to trying to make it to heaven. It's not the way the Bible describes the approach of trying to make it to heaven. Listen to what St. Paul says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. St. Paul says, I drive my own body and I train it for fear that after having preached to others, I myself might be lost. St. Paul himself, an apostle called by the Lord, is worried about making sure he's living correctly, making sure he's living his life the way that it's befitting the calling that he's received. It's interesting when you examine the life of Lazarus, the rich man in this gospel parable, you understand what he was condemned for, what he was sent to hell for, and what he was not sent to hell for. As far as we know from our gospel passage today, it doesn't say anything about this rich man being an adulterer. It doesn't say that he murdered people. It doesn't say that he was a thief. I would imagine if you were to go back in time and ask all his friends, describe this rich man for me, they would say, well, he loved his family. He went to the synagogue regularly, every Sabbath. He tithed, he contributed, he took care of his family. And yet he ended up in hell. That should wake us up a little bit. So what exactly was the standard by which he was being judged? What was the standard by which he failed? St. Jerome asked that exact question. The rich man is not accused of being greedy, according to St. Jerome, or of carrying off the property of another, or of committing adultery, or in fact of any wrongdoing. He was guilty of pride. He ignored the poor man, and his sin is indifference. Indifference. We don't necessarily think of that as being a sin worthy of hell, but that's precisely what Jesus is telling us. The sin of indifference, of seeing someone in need and turning your back on them. I mean, the visual image that we are given here is the poor man lying in Lazarus, or in the rich man's doorway, Lazarus lying there. And the rich man literally, physically stepping over to walk over the body of Lazarus. That's quite an image of indifference. Now, if that's the standard that we are being judged on, among other things, where are we indifferent? Who is our Lazarus? You think about all the ways that we kind of turn a blind eye, or we see somebody, in trouble or in need, And it's just a lot easier to ignore it. The homeless man who comes up to you at the street corner as you're coming off the on-ramp and he's got his sign there. It's just a lot easier not to make eye contact. Or the person who's struggling at work. Just, you know, there's something going on. They're not right. But it's just a lot easier to ignore it and mind your own business than to actually take the time to reach out and ask, is everything okay? Something like domestic violence. 1 in 3 women in the United States, 1 in 3, 33%, will experience domestic violence over the course of their lifetime at some point. And yet, we turn a blind eye to it. It's not something we necessarily bring up and talk about. And if you want to talk about the poor lying in our doorway being ignored, how about abortion? The most innocent, the most defenseless, being killed by the millions. And what do we do about that? We've come to a point of indifference. Think about all the whole issue with racism that's going on in our country and the riots that are happening, the people who are being beat up and property destroyed. Have we come to a point where we've heard it so often now that we just flip the channel and don't even think about it? Have we done anything about it in our community, in our families? Or is it just easier to ignore it and let somebody else worry about it? Brothers and sisters, we all have a Lazarus lying in our doorway. And we can't afford to be indifferent. We are called as Christians, it's required of us as Christians to seek out the poor, the lost, the suffering, and to do something about it. Let's not be indifferent like the rich man.